Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And we're going to stay with Trump's America, but we're moving from the ecumenical to the economic. And this decision to effectively pull out of a landmark global tax agreement has set alarm bells ringing in Europe, particularly here in Ireland, where we are home to the corporate headquarters of a number of US multinationals, and our reliance on tax receipts from these companies is very well documented. Well, here to discuss what it may mean for Ireland and Europe is Cliff Taylor, columnist with the Irish Times, and Matthew Carnett-Shing, who is editor-in-chief of Your Active. Cliff, I'll start with you because it's useful really to explain what is happening here. There's the OEC tax agreement and Donald Trump's move to withdraw it. How might that affect us here?
Yeah, I suppose the background here, Claire, is that Ireland's corporate tax regime has been in the spotlight both in the US due to cases like Apple and in Europe for some years, and Ireland would have hoped that by signing up to this big global corporate tax agreement in 2021, signed by almost 140 countries, including the US at the time, that these issues would be put to bed, and that the criticisms of Ireland would be answered to some extent because we are increasing our corporate tax rate to 15% in line with what other countries were doing, changing the rules. And this would give certainty to big investors in Ireland. Now, of course, what's happened is that Donald Trump has said that the OECD deal is not going to apply in the US. There have already been some doubts on this, as Joe Biden's government had signed up to the deal but hadn't actually implemented it. But now Trump has indicated that they're out. And he's also suggested that he's going to take an aggressive approach to try and rewrite, if you like, the international tax rules in some areas, and particularly where he feels discrimination against US companies. He set in place a process to examine that, and I think the risk for Ireland is getting caught up, if you like, in the row that's going to emerge now, and that looks certain to emerge between the US and Europe on the tax issue.
So what is the worst case scenario then for us here?
Well, I suppose there are specifics and there are generalities, I suppose, here. One of the specific issues in the that's going to be in the spotlight is a provision in the OECD deal that would oblige Ireland to collect some top-up tax from American companies, in addition to the tax they would normally pay here. Now, were the US to be part of the OECD deal and fully implemented, this wouldn't have been an issue. It's just part of the OECD rules, which are designed to ensure that companies pay the 15% minimum no matter where they're located. But because the US has now pulled out, there is a risk that Ireland would have to apply these top-up payments. That would be likely to get a very negative response from Donald Trump. It's already been heavily criticised by Republican politicians over recent months. And it's due to come into force from the start of next year. So that is the most immediate issue, if you like, that's going to cause tensions between Ireland, between the EU rather, and Europe, with Ireland caught in the middle. And then there's, I suppose, the more general sense that Trump is indicating that he's not happy with the way the global tax system works. And previously, a lot of his ministers had criticised Ireland's approach and pointed to the huge amount of tax that is paid in Ireland by US companies. So this is, you know, an area of exposure to us if Trump now tries to change the rules to attract investment and intellectual property back to the US market.
And we know that many of these companies are very deeply embedded in Ireland. It is unlikely that they're going to pack up and leave. But the problem is, if we look at future investment, that's where the risk really lies.
Yeah, I think the risk probably lies in two areas. One is, as you say, in terms of future investment, because Trump has signalled very clearly that he wants to attract investment back to the US. He wants companies to make things in the US, if you like, drugs, engineering products and so on, a lot of the things that they make in Ireland. So the risk is, I suppose, that future investment in those areas will be in the US rather than in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And maybe even some of the investment here starts to leach away over a period of years. The second risk, I think, is that companies start to change their their tax structures, the way they organise themselves internationally. And the key issue there is what's called intellectual property. It's the kind of copyrights, trademarks and licences, a lot of which are held for international markets in their Irish operations. That is key, if you like, to the amount of tax we collect from these companies. And Trump may try to put incentives in the US system or change rules in some way that will encourage companies to start to move that IP back to the US. Again, that's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's difficult, it's complicated. But the risk, again, is that kind of the IP moves away from Ireland over a period of years, and that hits our corporate tax revenues.
Okay. Cliff, stay with us because I want to ask you what we might do about this and how we should approach it. But I want to bring in Matthew Karnichnik, who is editor-in-chief, as I said, of Your Active. Matthew, you're very welcome. There's an awful lot for the EU to grapple with here. Do you think the Commission is doing enough to deal with these measures that Donald Trump is planning?
So far, they're clearly not doing enough. We've heard very little out of the Commission. They're taking more of a wait and see attitude on Trump, which I personally think is a mistake, because I think that he only responds to people when they stand up to him, and he only takes them seriously when he gets a bit of resistance. So I think the EU strategy so far is not creating a lot of optimism here in Brussels, I have to say, amongst businesses and industry lobbies and so forth.
So when you look at individual members like Ireland, and we've heard Cliff outline there that the big problems that we might be facing, should we be taking it on within the EU and under its auspices, or do we try to go it alone to a certain extent?
Well, I think you have to do both. I mean, I think, you know, Ireland is in a very difficult position also within the EU, because the Commission doesn't like Ireland's tax regime, never really has. And I think it's also, you know, has a difficult position vis-a-vis Washington, vis-a-vis Trump, because, you know, he's not, you know, the type of Ireland fan that Joe Biden was, clearly, and he would love nothing more than for these big American companies that have set up shop in Ireland to come back to the United States and to pay taxes there. And I think a lot of people think that this has always been somewhat of an artificial construct, you know, with Google and Apple and all of these folks, you know, putting down stakes in Ireland. So I think, you know, the Irish are going to be very exposed here, unfortunately.
So, Cliff, to come back to you on this, what's our best policy here in terms of dealing with this and getting ready for it?
Yeah, it's a tricky one for sure, Claire. And I think Ireland faces a difficult diplomatic, economic diplomatic challenge, you might call it. Obviously, our diplomats in the US are going to be very busy trying to get lines into the Trump administration to explain Ireland's case, to find out what Trump is actually going to do as opposed to what he says he's going to do, because his policies are contradictory. He changes from one day to the next. We really don't know where he's going to go, for example, on things like tariffs. And then obviously we have to manage our relationship with the EU as well. And as Matthew said, that's tricky, because our tax regime isn't very popular in the EU. And there may be voices in the EU that want to respond aggressively to what Trump may or may not do or may do. And that may not suit Ireland in some cases. So in some cases, it may be in our interest to kind of try and act as a peacemaker between the two sides. But I think if push comes to shove, Claire, there's no doubt that Ireland has to stand with the EU. We are a member of the EU, and whatever retaliation it decides to take against America, Ireland obviously has to be part of that. So tricky times ahead. And I suppose, you know, that there's a wider agenda as well in terms of investing in the kind of things that U.S. companies have said are needed to be invested in here, water, infrastructure, housing, etc., to get our own house in order to remain as attractive as possible as well in the background.
Matthew, there was talk of the EU setting up the Commission, putting this Trump unit together. Is that really happening?
It doesn't look like it's happening, not formally anyway. I mean, we've argued that the EU Commission really needs a Trump czar, some kind of prominent figure like Margrethe Vestager, the former commission, who was vice president of the commission from Denmark, a prominent figure who has a proven track record of standing up to the Americans on these issues, somebody that Trump will take seriously. We haven't seen that so far. What we've seen is people, you know, at the technical level in the commission dealing with tariff tables and this type of thing getting ready. But we need, you know, I think a face for this policy. It's something that Ursula von der Leyen so far hasn't really put at the top of her agenda. We heard it in her speech yesterday in Davos. She gave a big speech at the World Economic Forum where she didn't really mention the United States or Trump in any fundamental way, certainly didn't address these issues head on. So I think that is going to need to change in order to really push the European position, push the European agenda, also in the public realm, so people understand really what's at stake here.
Yeah, I mean, this could cause division, though, within the EU, as you said there, and I think Cliff agrees with you, the Commission doesn't really like Ireland's tax regime. So if we are to push back against this, there could be an element of us going it alone.
Well, I think that might have to be the fallback, not just for Ireland, but for other countries, too. And that certainly would please Trump because he doesn't like the EU. He wants to deal with countries on a bilateral basis. I would say that the one big thing that Ireland has in his favor here is that, you know, Trump has surrounded himself by these big tech plutocrats, Elon Musk, you know, as well as the CEOs of Google and Apple. And I think they certainly have an interest in remaining in Ireland. So I would suspect that they would push that agenda, and Ireland's best bet might be to use that channel to convince Trump rather than accentuating the EU, which he has previously declared as a foe of the United States.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Matthew Karnichnig from Euractiv and Cliff Taylor from the Irish Times, thank you both. In the last few minutes, it's been announced that Prince Harry, his lawyer rather, has told the High Court in London that they have settled their case. This was the case that they had taken against Rupert Murdoch's UK tabloids. His lawyer has said that an apology has gone to Prince Harry, a substantial financial settlement to substantial damages, and an apology also to Tom Watson, the former deputy leader of the Labour Party, for placing him under surveillance. So more details no doubt will be emerging on that one as we go through the morning. We're going to take a break though. Coming up next, we're going to find out how songs hit over 1 billion streams online and what that says about our own taste in music.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.